Well, the Bible is clear that we are made by God and we are made for God. We are made by God, but we're also made for God. Now, unless you're an atheist, you really kind of like, I think, the concept of being made by God. That kind of makes you special, right? Because you're made by God. But there's a lot of people who rebel to this idea that you're made for God. And why would they rebel? Because they don't want to be responsible to anyone, especially not to God. But when we accept this concept, this idea, this truth that we are responsible to God, because we are made for Him, we find that this path in life makes a whole lot more sense. We're beginning today a new series that I've entitled Through the Eyes of the Sheep. We're going to take a look, a detailed look at the 23rd Psalm. And I'll just tell you up front, I am not an expert in sheep and shepherding, okay? I've never led a flock of literal animal sheep anywhere. So I've drawn some thoughts, some information from an author by the name of Philip Keller. He was a shepherd by trade, and he wrote with great insight concerning the scriptures and shepherds and sheep. So at times in this series, we will draw from his vast knowledge of shepherding and what that has to do with this 23rd Psalm. Each week we're going to be looking at one verse at a time. A Sunday school teacher gave his boys an assignment to recite the 23rd Psalm in front of church on the next Sunday. Well, Bobby was one of those strugglers when it came to memorization. Sunday came around and it was Bobby's turn to stand up in front of the church and recite the 23rd Psalm. His teacher leaned over to him and whispered, "Bobby, it's your turn." Bobby shook like a leaf. And then he stood up there and he shouts out, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know." Well, you know what? There's a lot of truth in what Bobby says. The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know. This morning's sermon is entitled Complete Care. And we're going to look at just the first verse of this psalm. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, when I was young, there was a time that this verse confused me. I thought, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In my young mind, I thought, if the Lord is my shepherd, why don't I want Him? I misunderstood the meaning. Well, listen to where the New International Version says this verse. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." The New Living Translation, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." And then there's that Message paraphrase, "God my shepherd, I don't need a thing." Kind of sounds like Bobby, doesn't it? Well, King David wrote, of course, the 23rd Psalm, and he understood shepherding. As a young boy, he tended his father's flock, the family business. David knew what it meant to be a shepherd. But we have to understand, this psalm is not written from the viewpoint of the shepherd. This psalm is written from the viewpoint of the sheep. What does the sheep think of the shepherd? And that's our journey as we tour through the 23rd Psalm. And as we look at complete care of the shepherd in the sheep's point of view, I want us to begin by looking at five elements of this care. And the first one is that we have to have acknowledgement of lordship. right away we find a very key word at the beginning here of receiving complete care from God. God is described as Lord. Well, in a typical earthly manner, the Lord of the land owned everything. All the property is under his authority. All the people who lived on that property were under his authority, under his domain. They had to answer to him. Well, Jesus, we call him Lord of all. But is he Lord of all of our lives? Is that true of our lives? Jesus made this very bold statement in Matthew 7:21. He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." But he says, "But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Just because we call him Lord doesn't make it so, in other words. Jesus said, it's those who do the will of God. They prove it that he is Lord. They've proven that they have surrendered to him as Lord by doing God's will, not my will. Not trying to take my will and say it is God's will. It's about doing God's will. If Jesus is truly Lord, that means all that we have, our homes, our cars, our employment, our paycheck, our spouses, our parents, our children, and the list just goes on and on, belong to God. We own nothing. The Lord of the manor owns everything. And you know, really, when you really come to it and you turn all of this over to God, it takes a great burden off of our own lives when we understand, I don't own any of this. It all belongs to God. See, just saying Jesus is Lord doesn't mean it's so in your life. God's will concerning God's stuff is the proof of whether he's Lord of your life. Lordship means giving everything, every person in your life over to him. And sadly, I think over the last several decades within the church in America, and I thought about this morning as we talked about France and where they are, and our own United States is going down this path of postmodernism, post-Christianity. Who knows if one day we'll be considered pre-Christian ourselves again. But one of the things that has occurred over these last few years is we've moved away from this concept of saying we surrender our lives to Jesus. We surrender to his lordship. And instead we've come up with this concept of accept Jesus in your heart. You know, if the UPS man delivers a package to our house because our next door neighbors aren't home, and we accept it for our neighbors, it doesn't mean it's my package. It doesn't mean I've really done anything great about it all. I've just accepted their package. That's what happens if we just accept the Lord. Oh, I accept him as Lord. No, we surrender to him because he is Lord. We surrender to Jesus, not some act of just accepting him. And to receive God's complete care, we surrender all to him. Also, there's the personal nature of this relationship. Earthly royalty, in most cases, lacks the personal touch. They live in secluded and guarded homes, and they make rulings, in most cases, that satisfy themselves and their needs and maybe not the needs of their constituents. But see, our touch with royalty is quite different. Our God is Lord. He owns all. But this verse says, the Lord is my shepherd. Very personal. Matthew 10:30. Jesus says, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Now for some of us, that's getting less and less count for God, right? Even our head, the hair on our head are numbered. Matthew 6:8, Jesus said, "Do not be like them," that is the Gentiles, "for your Father knows what you need before you even ask Him." The Father knows your personal needs before you ask Him. Human lords own the estate. They hold things over people's heads so that they will obey. But God is Lord is not like that. God is personal. He knows your needs. He knows your problems. He knows your struggles in this life. He knows your loves. And He loves you greatly. When we understand just how personal the nature is of God to us, I think we will gladly and willingly say to Him, "I willingly give up anything and everything because you are my Lord." See, Christianity, and I know I've said it many times, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. It's the relationship that we have with the Father. It's the relationship that we have with each other. A religion is about rules and regulations and traditions and how do we control people? How do we keep people in line? That's religion. Relationship is that relationship with the Father, with each other, because of the great love that exists between us and the Father. Complete care is lordship. And understanding the very personal nature of our God. And that leads to the next step, next point, the responsibilities of the shepherd. What are the responsibilities of the shepherd? Well, David called God Lord, but what he really wants to drive home in this psalm is the very shepherd nature of our God. How is God a shepherd? How does my Lord as shepherd interact with my life? What is it that a shepherd, what does a shepherd do? Well, one thing a shepherd provides. A shepherd will lead his sheep to areas to find food and water, find shelter in the midst of a storm, to care for them when they are sick, when they are infected by parasites. He provides. The Lord is my shepherd, is the great provider. Since He is Lord, He owns all things. Do we trust Him with those provisions? Or do we cling tightly to things, cling tightly to people instead of giving them over to the shepherd for Him to, in return, provide for our needs? A shepherd protects. You know, sheep cannot defend themselves very well. When a wolf or coyote or some other predator arrives on the scene, often lamb chops are on the menu. Unless there's an outside force to protect. That's why the shepherd carries that rod, and we'll talk about that in a few weeks to come. He protects us. Well, the Lord is my shepherd is also the great protector. We are able to withstand the attacks of the enemy Satan because Jesus is protecting. We can withstand the ridicule and persecution from this world because greater is He that is in me than he that is out there in the world. He protects. He also, a shepherd, guides. Sheep are creatures of habit. They will do the same thing over and over and over and over again, even if it brings them danger. Sheep must move from place to place in their eating patterns, because if they stay in one pasture for too long, they will not only eat the surface grass, they will eat the roots down under the soil. They will literally destroy the land by eating everything completely clean if they stay in one place too long. So the shepherd guides them throughout the year to different pastures along the way. And without the shepherd's guidance, the sheep instead would become skinny and diseased. He guides. Well, the Lord, as my shepherd, also guides. Let's face it. And I put myself in this category too. You and I can be as stubborn as sheep sometime. We want to stay in the same habitual patterns over and over again. And God is out there saying, I have new journeys for you. I have new pastures for you to feed off of. I want you to get out of your habitual nature. Because He knows if we stay in the same old ruts, spiritually, we will become malnourished and damaged. A shepherd gathers. Sheep are easily distracted. And the fear of a predator may cause one of them to run, making them even more vulnerable. Oh, the distraction may be something as simple as something green, what looks like something green and wonderful to eat that's really a poisonous plant. The shepherd constantly gathers the sheep back together when they go off in the wrong direction. He gathers. The Lord is my shepherd also gathers. We have many things, don't we, in this world to distract us, and I think they seem to be multiplying every few years. We have so many things in this world to distract us, to cause us harm. Things create fear in our lives and they take us off course in our Christian walk. We start to dine on things in life that can poison our spiritual walk. And when we listen to the shepherd, though, he will gather us back on the right path again. King David knew the health and welfare of his sheep depended upon the character of the shepherd. Because see, under one type of shepherd, sheep could struggle, could even starve, could suffer endless hardships. But in another shepherd's care, the flock would flourish. Philip Keller wrote this about that topic. He said, I can still see of the sheep ranches in our district operated by the tenant, or what's a hired shepherd. He ought never to have been allowed to keep sheep. His stock was always thin, weak, and riddled with disease or parasites. They would come and stand at the fence, staring blankly through the woven wire at the green, lush pastures which my flock enjoyed. Had they been able to speak, I am sure they would have said, "Oh, to be set free from this awful owner." Well, we have available to us the greatest shepherd ever, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he desires to call himself our shepherd and invite us to consider ourselves sheep of his affection. But sadly, most people are sheep of a very terrible shepherd that riddles their lives with sin. And you may be here and think, well, I'm not going to be a shepherd of anybody. Yes, you are. If you're not God's shepherd, if God's not your shepherd, you have other things that are leading your life. Most likely very sinful areas that are leading your life. You're somebody's flock, in other words, one way or another. Well, we talked about the shepherd. Let's look at the nature of the sheep. The nature of the sheep. David wrote this psalm, as I said, as a sheep. Look who is my shepherd. He's my owner. He's my Lord. How are we like sheep? Well, one thing is we stray. Sheep wander off in their own little world because something has distracted or attracted them toward harm. They are the definition of attention deficit disorder. They are ADD. Have you strayed from Jesus in your Christian walk? I have. Have you allowed the world to distract you from the Lord? Have you been attracted to things in your life that harm your spiritual walk? We need to face it. We stray at times. But also, we satisfy self. Sheep will eat everything that's in front of them, as I said, roots and all, if they are allowed to. Because, see, it's all about them. It's all about their needs. And are we that far off? Are we that far off? How often do our lives so center around ourselves? As long as I get my way, I'm satisfied. You know, when we come to worship together on Sunday morning or any time we come to worship together, of course, the number one thing should be about praising God and glorifying God. To get our minds off of ourselves and to point everything towards Him and praise Him. But as a church, and particularly on Sunday morning, one of the things, and we've been stressing, is this whole concept of welcoming community. A welcoming environment to those who are visitors, those and others who don't know the Lord, who come into these doors, to be a welcoming environment for them. And I know some of you, when we pay the parking lot and we put the word guest parking out there on the ground, it stirred some ire, most likely. But do you realize that there's been a visitor's parking sign out there for many years, pointing at those for Sunday morning as being visitor's parking? It's out there right now. It's at least 6 or 7 years old, if not longer, that it's been out there. But see, we want to satisfy self. Well, we decided to put it on the ground so you have more clearly that this is, you know, supposed to be for guests. But are we more about satisfying self instead of the needs of others? Well, we are also defenseless. Sheep don't have claws. They don't have vicious teeth to use when attacked. And even though they can't run very fast. They're easy prey if the shepherd does not defend. Well, our shepherd defends us. If ridicule and persecution attacks, our shepherd comes in our defense. We are the target of the enemy also. Wolves and coyote love to sit and wait for the perfect moment to have sheep supper. And when we get serious about turning all that we are and all that we've ever have and will have over to the Lord as my shepherd, our enemy Satan will not be happy about it whatsoever. But our shepherd can withstand any attack on us. We must turn over all that we are, all that we hope to be over to the shepherd for his protection, for his guidance, for his provision. And you know what? When we cannot see that God as our shepherd is the best thing for our lives, what are we? We're just being dumb sheep. When the Lord is my shepherd, though, we find this outcome, which is the second half of the verse. The want of complete care. The want of complete care. So the second half of the verse says, I shall not want, or more clearly, I shall not be in want. Reverend R.I. Williams of a Methodist church in Norfolk, Virginia, would have in the paper, the Saturday paper leading into Sunday, his sermon title and scripture for that next day. So he calls the newspaper as he normally does, and he tells the person on the other side of the telephone and says, my title is, The Lord is My Shepherd. And the guy on the other asked him, is that all? And the pastor answered, that's enough. So the next day the paper came out and the sermon was listed as, The Lord is My Shepherd, and that's enough. Well, The Lord is My Shepherd, and that's enough. See, we look at this word want that's in here, and we think it means not lacking, not having deficiencies. And is that really what it means in this verse? I will not be in want. The word want here is used, has a much broader meaning to it than that. No doubt when the sheep are properly cared for, They're not lacking. They're not deficient. But a greater definition and emphasis of what we have in this psalm for want is not craving or desiring anything more. Not craving or desiring anything more. If Jesus, as the good shepherd, is Lord of my life, I have no need to crave another Lord. My shepherd laid down his life for me on the cross. My shepherd provides abundant life here on this planet. My shepherd provides eternal life in the life to come. And I don't need to crave, desire, or want another shepherd. I don't need to crave, desire, or want another Lord. Jesus' lordship fulfills my wants. See, we want our want in this verse to be, God will give me the comfort of a house, three meals a day, a family that doesn't argue, and a comfortable financial living. So what happens if you lose your home for some reason? Do you turn your back on the Good Shepherd? Because you say, he didn't give me my wants? Well, the stock market crashes. You lose your future retirement income. You turn your back on the Good Shepherd and say, you aren't giving me my future wants? You know, I get a little cautious. And I had a friend from another church who recently, they went through some surgery. And on Facebook afterwards, they posted, because the surgery was successful, they posted, God is good. And that's fine, but I wonder if they would say the same if the surgery was botched, or maybe couldn't get rid of the cancer, or whatever the case may be. Is God still good to them then, or is it only when God gives them their wants? You know, sheep have tremendously bad eyesight. It's one of the reasons why we find in scriptures where Jesus says, they hear my voice and they know who I am. Their hearing is good, it's just their eyesight that's bad. They can only see the grass that's directly in front of them. The shepherd knows of pastures unknown to the sheep. We turn over our wants to the shepherd because he sees the future pastures that we can't even dream about because we're so locked into today. Our view of wants is extremely limited, but not Jesus. I don't need another shepherd. One of England's leading actors entertained guests in his home by inviting people to come in, and he recited various plays unto them. An elderly pastor was there at his house also and asked this actor to recite the 23rd Psalm. So the actor agreed to do that, as long as the pastor then stood up afterwards and recited the psalm also. So the actor recited, and he recited with great elocution, and the audience was just spellbound. And then afterwards they stood and applauded. Then the elderly pastor stood. His voice was a little shaky due to age. He wasn't quite as eloquent as the actor was. But when he was finished, there wasn't a dry eye in the room. And as the pastor sat down, the actor stood up again. And he said to his guest, he said, I reached your eyes and ears, my friends, but he reached your heart. He said, the difference is this. I know the 23rd Psalm. He knows the shepherd. I know the 23rd Psalm. He knows the shepherd. Do you? Do you know the shepherd? And if not, what's holding you back? What's keeping from surrendering your life to Jesus Christ? Because see, once you truly taste of the complete care of the shepherd, you'll never desire another lordship from anyone else. You know, and the news lately has been a lot about North and South Korea. And of course, technically, the war never ended. And there's this demilitarized zone in between. And that was a way of bringing somewhat of peace, but yet there's been nothing but tension ever since. See, when it comes to Jesus Christ, there's no such thing as a demilitarized zone. There's no little safe, peaceful haven. Jesus says unconditional surrender. Unconditional surrender. Because I'm to be Lord. And just like Bobby, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. Well, this morning, as we come to our time of decision making, have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, or have you just accepted Him? That's not going to get you much. We surrender our lives to Christ and make that decision to follow Him and let the shepherd care for us greatly. Let's go to word and prayer. And if you have that prayer concern, if you want to come and talk more about accepting Jesus Christ in your life to follow, not accept in your heart just to accept, but in your life to follow Him, then come this morning. Or if other decisions you have, take them to the Lord now. Let's go to Him. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You that You care for us so much, that You desire to be our shepherd. But Father, it means that we must turn our lives over to You. And through that, Father, we receive by acknowledging the sin that's in our hearts and lives, that we are sinners, that You then will forgive that if we seek forgiveness from You. And then, Lord, we take that challenge that You give of making You Lord of everywhere in our lives. And, Lord, I understand sometimes it takes piece by piece within us because we tend to hang on to things. But, Lord, my prayer is now, if there's someone here who's never made that commitment, that they will open up their eyes to You today, open up their hearts, and they will become new again by being followers of Jesus Christ. Lord, other prayer decisions, other needs here in this congregation, just pray that You will be working in and through them now. Lord, that You will be glorified and honored. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.